the siblings all being older, we kind of don't hang out as much, obviously. But for my kids, they have three grandmothers, right? This, you know, it's my mom, and then it's Grandma Carol, and then it's my wife's mom. And so they get more people to love them. And I have more people to love me, right? And the initial kind of like chaotic emotions and frustrations and feelings kind of subside, and getting, you know, I get to know Carol, and Carol's wonderful, and she's been really super great to our whole family. And I think this is super important for me. Neither one of them ever pushed it. They never were like, you are going to love me, you are going to be a part of this family. It was, you know, listen, I'm a grown up, I got a wife, I got kids, I got so much going on.
From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. This donor-supported podcast brings together timeless wisdom and practical help and hope to blended families and those who love them. And I think it's working. We got this feedback on Apple Podcasts from Brent and Lisa. They say, we love this podcast. We haven't been able to find helpful information before. Every single podcast is helpful. 5 stars. Wow. Well, we're glad that you're enjoying the podcast, and we hope others are as well. Welcome to episode number 56, entitled Adult Step Families. And since some of you are immediately confused by that language, let me define who we're talking about. Blended families that form when most of the children are in their late teens or adult years are what we call adult stepfamilies. Sometimes they're referred to as later life stepfamilies because typically the couple is a little later in life when the family formed. In adult stepfamilies, the kids generally don't live at home very much, or they have limited time there because of their age and they have lives of their own. Sometimes they have kids of their own. So all kids obviously grow up and become adults, but today we're specifically talking about stepfamilies that start that way. Now, even if this is not you, I want to encourage you to keep listening because it is someone you know. I can almost guarantee it. Take a quick second and think of someone right now that you could share this episode with. It could be a widow or a divorced friend who is dating and they're a little bit later in life, or perhaps someone who has been married for a few years, or it could be a pastor or a ministry leader who does premarital counseling or something like that, and they need to learn a little bit more about stepfamily living when the kids are adults. Okay, you got a name in mind? Great. Do me a favor and share it with them right now. You know, it's generally true that children of all ages have opinions and feelings about how their blended family came about and how they experience it. Adult children most certainly experience this. They have strong opinions. They have agendas for their own life, maybe for their own children. They care very much about what's happening with their parent and their extended family. Simply put, they have just as many adjustments to make and ambiguities to struggle with as 10-year-olds do who enter a blended family, or teenagers. But parents and step-parents of adult children often underestimate this because they assume that since the child was an adult when they got together, the kids are going to be fine with their parents' marriage. Today, we're going to be talking with two parents and two of their children about how the family transition occurred, what happened, and how they felt about it, and how even now, after a number of years, they still need to communicate with each other about their family. In fact, during the conversation you're about to hear, there were some pretty powerful aha moments for both parent and child. Who knows? Maybe you'll have an aha moment as well. Now, a quick word about resources for adult stepfamilies before we jump into this episode. People ask us all the time, do you have any books that address adult stepfamilies? Well, the answer is, yeah, nearly all of them do. Specifically, I think of The Smart Stepmom, The Smart Stepdad, and the book Building Love Together in Blended Families. They all have entire chapters on this subject, and the book The Smart Step Family has content integrated throughout the book. So I just say pick one and dive in. Now, if you're part of an adult step family, here's one more thought I want you to be thinking about as you listen to this episode. It could be that after the episode, you decide to share this with a son or a daughter or a parent or a step parent and use it to spark a conversation about your own family journey. I'll let you listen, and then you can decide. Terry and Carol Moss are founders and executive officers of One Flesh Ministries. In addition, they lead the Preparing for Marriage classes at their church. They facilitate Re-Engage, which is a 16-week marriage enrichment group, and they are the leaders of the Blended Family Ministry there. They live in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and I should add that they have spoken at our Summit on Step Family Ministry, of which, by the way, the next summit is being planned for this coming October 2021. You can learn more about this ministry equipping event online. The show notes will link you to that website. I'm going to introduce their children, Brandon and Nina, during our conversation. We'll tell you more about them in just a minute. So let's jump in. Here's my family conversation with Terry and Carol Moss, Brandon Moss, and Nina Thomas on Family Life Blended. Okay, Terry, Carol, let me just set the scene a little bit as we jump into our conversation. You guys at this point have been married for 14 yes. lovely, blessed years, yeah. 13 wonderful horrible years, and one good one. What?
Right.
14 that's, marvelous years.
That's the way to say it, even if it's not true. Good job, Terry. Carol, Carol, you had three children when you married, Shondell, Kevin, and Nina, who was 16. Yes. And Nina's with us today. We're going to hear from her in just a minute. Terry, you had two children, Terrence and Brandon, who was 25. Brandon's with us in our conversation today. We're going to hear from him in just a minute. First of all, Terry, Carol, let me just ask you this question. How do you feel about having a couple of your kids in this conversation talking about your journey as a blended family and particularly, you know, adult children? And I mean, because all five of your kids were close to being adults, if not well into their adult years. And is it weird to think you're going to sit with them and talk about all this?
Well, I'll start. Scary.
No, actually, for me, I am excited about it because, for one reason, I'm not sure if we ever all sat down as a new family and just talked together because different states, different times, different schedules. And plus, I guess I never really thought about, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty exciting to see. As we have been doing blended over 14 yeah. years now, and now teaching it and sharing with others, how cool is it to hear what our kids have to say?
Yeah, yeah. This is a nice platform to allow them to be able to speak things that's been on their minds. And it's so ironic with this pandemic, it gives us this ability to be in different states and to come together. And use this as a teaching moment. It's a little scary to me.
Or maybe an inspiration for us to do this as a family now.
But to hear their hearts is real important. Yeah. So I'm loving it.
Nina, you were 16 when your mom married Terry. Do you remember any big emotions that you felt around that time, leading into the wedding, coming out of the wedding? What would you say you were feeling?
I feel like my feelings kicked in prior to the wedding when I first found out my mom was dating someone. I thought I was going to boarding school. Mm-hmm. I thought I was being shipped away.
Okay.
Because all we knew him was as Elder Moss and not as father or leader. It was just Elder Moss. So I was just like, oh my goodness. Yeah. All my Bow Wow CDs are going to have to get shipped away.
Okay, a little context for our listener who doesn't know what Elder Moss means. You guys went to church together. Terry was one of the elders in your congregation, right? Okay, all right. So he was that guy. And so all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh, man, are we going to be under the strict rule of this? Yeah, huh.
Okay, so I'm hearing some fear wrapped up in that for you.
And that was initial until, you know, everyone was able to come around each other, really sit and have conversations. And then it's like, oh, you guys are getting married? Great. Cool. But I think my feeling was more so, as long as my mom is happy, then we can kind of fall in line. Not fall in line, but as long as
follow
she's
with.
Yes, exactly. Because yeah, I know follow. She's not going to allow anyone in our lives that doesn't really, you know, mesh well with the whole entire family, not just her own personal feeling.
That's good. And I think it was kind of like a culture shock because we have like Elder Moss, you know, who has order. And then you have the single parent, Carol, with two kids and a disabled child who kind of like, we're doing our own thing. And so it's like, all right, here comes someone who's going to bring order to our chaos. So it was like.
See, that's supposed to be anticipation, not fear.
It's funny how we spin things, right, Terry?
Right, right.
Yeah, and you know, part of the reason we're having this conversation today, the way we're having it, is because, as I've said on this podcast so many times and in so many of the books and things that we've produced to help families, there's often a different experience between where the adults are and where the kids are. And the adults are excited and anticipating the new family and what's to come, and kids are feeling something different than that. And in Nina's case, it sounds like there was like, whoa, what does this mean? Like, what's the new reality going to be? Who's Terry? Is Elder Moss going to turn into Daddy Moss? And all of a sudden we got problems going on. Like what? So there's just a lot of question marks and unknowns and some fear wrapped up in that. And it was difficult. And so the gap between adults and kids means you got to work hard to try to bridge that gap. And in some ways, what we're doing today is reflecting back on that journey for you guys and perhaps, you know, wondering where you are now. And who knows, maybe there's still a few gaps, but the gaps are smaller and fewer of them. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But I hope the listener is going to take away from our conversation today, I need to figure out how to bridge these conversations with our children, no matter what their age, so that we can move toward each other in that process. Okay, so we'll come back and get more from Nina in a little bit. Nina, you had two older biological brothers, and then when Mom married Terry, you got two more older stepbrothers,
yeah,
right? And Brandon's one of them. Brandon, you were 25-ish when you found out. And do you remember how you felt leading into the wedding, the announcement, shortly coming out of it? What were the big emotions
this
there?
Is going to be one of those long story things we talk about later on.
It's all right. Go for it.
It's so interesting hearing from Nina because, like Dad said, we haven't really sat down and debriefed all this before. So you're going to help us do this today, Ron. Yeah, my feeling was altogether different. I wasn't afraid of anything. I was more hurt, more scared, more like, I guess I was a little scared, but I was more just like hurt. Like, what? Who? What mm-hmm. happened here? What's mm-hmm. going on? So my experience was very different. So we lived far apart from each other. I think you were still in Illinois at the time. I was in Maryland. I was still trying to process the end of the first marriage, right? So my mom, my dad, we grew up together in Illinois, then New Jersey. Then they moved back to Illinois, and I was in college, and my brother moved out. And I was still trying to figure out, okay, well, so what happened there? Why is that not happening? And as Dad and Mom had announced their separation and that they were heading towards divorce, I think we had like a family call or something. I was actually getting engaged, right. So I'm like, wait,
yeah.
that was a very heady place for me because I was like, wait, well, what's going on now? Wait, my family's breaking up, but I'm now, what am I supposed to do now that I'm stepping into this choice? So it, definitely some questions there for me. So that was hard. So then that was kind of being processed, and I have no idea how long. So I wasn't a part of the dating and the relationship and any of that stuff. I don't remember every little detail, but all I remember is when Dad was ready to announce that they were going to get married, in classic Moss fashion, it's got to be an event. It's got to be an experience. And so he brought Carol to town. And my, you know, dad's sister, my Aunt Janie and Uncle Brooks, they live in Southern Maryland. I live in Maryland. And so we all went down there. I was like, oh, great. We're going to have a little family time. He may have said there was someone else coming, but I wasn't expecting Carol. I wasn't expecting a marriage. I was just, okay.
None of that was on your radar.
None of them are. So we sit down and it's like, okay, hi, random person I've ever met. Don't know who you are. And then it was... and she was perfectly lovely, but I just don't know what's happening. So then it's like, well, I'm sitting there, and I remember holding my wife's hand. We're sitting there, and the announcement comes. And it was like, Brandon, Jessica, we're getting married.
I like your impression, by the way.
Who is getting married?
That's so bad. Like, that is so bad.
I was like, who is we? Because I'm already married at this point. I'm looking around the room like, I don't know. What are you talking about? Oh, no, it's no, you two. And what's your name again? So I don't know how many of these details are exactly accurate, but this was a feeling I remember very strongly.
Okay, so by the way, I'm going to pause you for a second because you've been talking about the events and how it happened and what Dad did, what behavior, and you're... Give me the emotions connected to that. I think I'm hearing confusion. I think I'm hearing discouragement maybe about mom and dad's divorce and now this. And I feel out of the loop and disconnected. I don't know. What words would you put on it?
Can I jump in one quick minute just to say, and because with those emotions, it was a quick period because Terry and I dated and was married within 5 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but I mean, there were dad and mom's like official paper marriage was like just still kind of finalized, kind of ending, you know, as well. I don't know if it was like a week before, a month before, a week after.
It was a shorter period of time.
It was like, I'm still dreaming of reconciliation. I'm still thinking we're going to work this out. You're getting married. To who? Why? When? What? So my feeling was there was confusion. There was anger. There was I didn't even know what to do. I was honestly, I don't know if I can give you a real word. Maybe a twinge of like just feeling a little like... betrayed a little bit, not that's a big word, but I mean more just like, whoa, what are you doing to us? What's happening here?
Yeah.
But it was also, most of it was just like, just what? This, all I remember is just thinking, what? Huh? It didn't add up.
The image I have in my head is whiplash. Like, you know, whiplash divorce, whiplash what? Dating, now married, like boom, boom. And for you, it was just tossed and turned and I don't know what to do with this.
And I want to be clear, I don't remember feeling like Dad and Carol were doing something wrong. It wasn't like, I don't remember feeling like you shouldn't be doing this. I never really felt that to me. It was like Nina said, like, if you guys are happy, that's great. For me, it was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to kind of connect with this new family that's here.
Yeah, and an interesting thing with that is, you didn't have the daily context of what was going on because of your distance. You were in a different state, different life, different world, different stage.
Yeah.
You're doing you. And so that's another part of it is the distance that makes you feel disconnected because you're not in the everyday.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I want to point out to our listener is, again, this is true of adults and younger age children, but it is very true of adult step families, which is our topic today. In part because adult step families, like here's Brandon, he's got his own life. He lives a few states away. He's, you know, working on his own primary relationship, getting married. You know, sometimes people have kids, on and on it goes. And so it's sort of like, yeah, just out of touch with all that's happening with my parent, and now the announcement comes, and all of a sudden there's this rush of reality, and wow, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? Like, what do I do with this now? Let me read a statement to you guys, and I'd just love for maybe all four of you to react to this. This is a quote from the book I wrote with Gary Chapman, Building Love Together in Blended Families. We talk a lot about adult step families and step grandparenting and some of the things that are all connected to that. So let me just read this and you guys react to it. It might not all fit for you, but I'm just curious how you would respond. Adult children may be adults, but at times of uncertainty, sometimes they're more like children than adults. Mm. Why? Because their entire world is changing again. They feel out of control again. They feel loyalty conflicts again. They're losing connection and exclusive time with a parent again. And they are losing a sense of home. Any of that fit for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah. All
can you
that.
Send that book?
All of the above.
Yeah, we'll dig up a copy. We'll get it to you.
And you know, something I was going to say that Brandon pointed out, which was so important, is to the adult feelings are the same feelings that a younger child will have. When he said he was still looking towards reconciliation, it's like, here's this new person, and I'm hoping mom and dad get back together. It's the same feelings in adult children that they are in the younger children. So I wanted to point that out. I think that's real important. Emotions are emotions, no matter the age.
I'd love to jump in and add to that real quick, which is maybe that's a later conversation, but I just want to note the other thing for me is, as an adult child, I'm not living in the home day to day, so that's not what I'm missing. What I'm missing mm-hmm. is just that anchor mm-hmm. of home, if
yes.
that makes sense, where it's mm-hmm. like I want to go back with my kids and my wife and be able to go back home for Thanksgiving, and it's mom and it's dad, and oh, this is the room I grew up in. Let's drive to the school I went to. You know, like, I mean, they had already moved by that point, but contextually, you know, that's what I'm feeling.
But that's the want. Yeah.
I want the feeling of I'm going to go bring my family, and it's going to be my home, my family. You're going to experience the culture that I grew up in, the style I grew up in.
Nina, what's deeply embedded in what Brandon just said is this sense of identity. I know who I am in part because of who my parents and my family is.
Yeah.
And, you know, share with my new wife, share with my family, my friends, whatever. This is my past. And my past gives me an anchor. It gives me a sense of safety about the world. But, you know, divorce steals that sense of safety. And now another big mm-hmm. announcement, sort of stealing it again. You were a little younger than Brandon. You were 16, right on the edge of being out of the teen years and into your adult years. Can you relate to this sense of lost identity because of all another transition?
Not necessarily. I feel like my position was a little, or my situation or feeling was a little different. It was more so because, again, around that age, I was concerned with getting my driver's license and being able to, you know, be young and independent. And so around that time, with Shondell not living in the house, I was focused on wanting to get my driver's license so I can help my mom on the weekends when Shondell would come home. So I looked at it more as my mom is happy and now she has help. Now there's actually happy help that is coming. I've always had a relationship with my biological father, but it was never a mother and father in the house situation. And now we're having family dinners together. And I think it was a lot easier for me, of course, with being in the house, able to embrace that situation. So it is good. I appreciate, you know, Brandon sharing his situation, because it is looking at it from a different perspective. Like, at the end of the day, as a young man or as a grown man, you felt like your father was taking away. And of course, that was never the intent, but I guess I never necessarily had that own personal feeling.
Your mom's wedding to Terry provided something to you that you hadn't had before, and there was a gift in there for you. And again, to our listener, among siblings, you can have very different opinions about the whole transition, certainly between step-siblings, as we have in this case. You can have a different experience, in part because each of them has traveled a very different journey in their lives up until that point in time. They're in different ages, they're in different places, which makes all of this even more confusing, I think, for adults, in particular for step-parents who are going, I'm just trying to figure out the lay of the land. Like, how do I connect with each of these children? And how do we do that when, man, it feels a little schizophrenic? Like, one minute I'm talking to this person who's happy I'm here, and this person over here is really unhappy that I'm in the house. And it's like, how do I do life? And that's challenging for sure. Terry, Carol, You can reflect on some of that. How'd that work for you guys?
Right, yeah, and right. The dynamics is so like across the board, because here, one, Nina is receiving it as a gain, a gift.
I like that happy help.
Yes. a gift. So it's a good thing for her and not so good for Brandon. So it's a gain for Nina and a loss for Brandon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's how you have to understand that and receive it and know why they have those feelings.
Exactly. And to be able to listen to those feelings, because, you know, we don't always sit down and talk about it, but it's important to hear what the children are feeling, even as adult stepchildren or adult children. So it's interesting on the step parent part. So I come into Carol, Shondell, Nina, Kevin's world as now the as the happy help. but if Kevin was here, he wouldn't say at that time he felt it was happy help. Mm-hmm. He was almost 18, so he was at a different place and as a male, and he had been the male for 14, 15 years, mm-hmm. and now here comes this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I can chime in real quick, my brother always called him Moss, and I started calling, it was just easier for me to be able to blend in and call him Dad. I don't know what it was with that, but it was easier for me to call him Dad as I do now, other than my brother's calling him Moss.
Was it weird for you, Nina, to go with Dad, but your brother go with something, and I don't know how you would describe it, something respectful? Was that respectful but distant? Mm-hmm. How would you say that?
Was it weird for me? Yeah. No, because I was just like, you do your own thing, but...
You be you, I'll be me. All
right. And she was the only girl, so... Yes.
So as looking at it now, like, I'm the youngest and the only girl of five brothers. Now, it was always easier for me to embrace it, like, Brandon and TJ, these are my brothers now. This is my brother. This is my dad. Even... I'll never forget the moment when I introduced my biological father and my stepfather together. I was just like, Dad, this is my dad. Dad,
this is my dad. Dad, meet my dad.
Yeah, Dad, meet my dad.
Okay, that is really cool that you found your way and you found your peace with that really, really fast. I imagine other people, obviously your brother, didn't quite find it that way as quickly. I'm curious, what was that moment like? Because somebody listening right now heard you just do the dad, this is my dad, and other dad, this is my... Was that weird? Was that strange? Did you sense anything in them?
No, because it was always... It's like a... There better be a respect level. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're grown at this point. We're talking to grown folks at this point.
People like, listening couldn't see what I just saw, and that was... Your pointer finger went up, and you were like, there better be. There was a shaking of...
Yes.
Was that a mom's message to you kids that came through loud and clear?
Yes and no. It was just my own personal relationship that I had with my biological father. It was like there should be no standing animosity. There should be no any of this.
Okay. So that was your message to them. You guys better be respectful because I'm not dealing with disrespect.
Yes.
Well, good for you. Okay. And so they received it fairly well.
Well, I tell you, for me, being on one end of that, Dad, meet my dad, have even since that time remembered that in a very precious way. To me, that was so, it was so mature of Nina. It was so respectful of Nina. And for me, it was just a cool moment. And I still remember that moment when she said, Dad, meet my dad. Wow. I thought, wow.
Yeah. Special. And we were not going to be a family of chaos. So as Nina said, it did come from the finger pointing, finger wagging, is you are going to respect and you're going to respect adults. Now, you are entitled to your feelings and you can have those feelings. We will listen, but it will be in a respectable way. And so for the biological father, Nina's biological father, if you're going to be a part of their lives as well, you're going to come in a respectful manner as well. So you're going to respect my husband if you want to be a part of. So we tried hard to keep the chaos out of it.
Okay, we got to pause for just a second. Brandon, you've been listening to this conversation. I'm wondering what you're thinking and feeling right now.
Well, you can edit, right?
All cuss words will be removed.
Well, the first thing I'm thinking is, I think I got a little animated earlier when I was talking about the frustration I was feeling. But so I apologize for that. The thing that I was thinking is really interesting is just it just underscored for me exactly what I think Carol summarized beautifully. It was like it felt like a loss from my end, and there's this tremendous gain on the other end. And that is like, that's, I mean, I think I kind of knew that, but to hear that was kind of like, oh, wow, that's, you know, sitting here trying to be happy for you guys. I'm a little like, yeah, that's great. That's, I'm so glad. That's awesome. You know?
I love your honesty, man.
Yeah, I hope this isn't recorded. But we're probably not there yet, but I also was thinking that there is a net gain on the back end for me as well. I don't know if we're there yet, but in the siblings all being older, we kind of don't hang out as much, obviously. But for my kids, they have three grandmothers, right? This, you know, it's my mom, and then it's Grandma Carol, and then it's my wife's mom. And so they get more people to love them. And I have more people to love me, right? And the initial kind of like chaotic emotions and frustrations and feelings kind of subside. And getting, you know, I get to know Carol, and Carol's wonderful, and she's been really super great to our whole family. And I think this is super important for me. Neither one of them ever pushed it. They never were like, you are going to love me. You are going to be a part of this family. It was, you know, listen, I'm a grown up. I got a wife. I got kids. I got a management job. I got mortgage. Now I got a second mortgage. Like, you know, I got two houses. It's just like so much going on. And then they're like, hey, we'd love to be apart more. We're going to come out. We're going to visit. You're going to visit. But it was never like you have to be all a part of this right now and love everybody right now. So that was helpful.
Nina was nodding as you were saying that. It was helpful for her as well. So I'd love for both of you. Why was that helpful? And what would you have done had it been the opposite, where they came in and said, oh yeah, you will love all of this and all of us?
I think it was my mom personally knowing me as, of course, her child, and knowing I'm not one to force things upon. So it was able to just happen organically. If me and Brandon were to agree on any sorts of feelings, it would be that I didn't feel like I was forced to have to be in the situation, or it was just a one-sided agreement. I feel like my mom made the agreement even at the moment of dating, even prior to marriage, that this is going to work for the entire family and my children, opposed to just, you know, her own personal relationship. So
good. That's good. Brandon, what would have happened in your heart had somebody tried to force love on you?
I really don't know how to answer what would have happened. I think I would have loved it if I was in a place to just fully embrace it and be super excited and like, we're going to have like every meal together, every Thanksgiving together, something like that. That really wasn't where I was in a place of. And I think a lot of that was just logistics. Like, I had a lot going on anyway, just in terms of my own life. But what it meant to me in terms of the patience was, the way it started for me, like you said, we talk about that kind of lost thing. I don't like to dwell on that, but that's, you know, it's like, okay, well, so we're trying to navigate this new world in a very limited amount of time together, new relationships with a very limited amount of time together. And so the patience just made me feel like, I don't know, kind of welcomed, like, just be who you are, right? Wherever you're at, we're just going to see kind of how this goes. I never felt a weight of expectations. And that was just so helpful. I think if I did, I probably would have put up some walls and not answered some phone calls. Mm-hmm. It would have been more like, no. You got to give me some space here. And that would have been more conflict. And that would not have helped developing a relationship with Carol. And like for me, when I think of Carol, I have all positive feelings. Like, I can't think of any negative thought that I've had in actually dealing with Carol, working with Carol in any situation. She's always been super loving, super kind, super giving. And that makes me feel like, gee, Dad, I'm really glad you found Carol. You know, like that's she's really great. And so that's been the relationship with Carol. And over time, I've had some interaction with Nina, and I've always had great interaction with Nina. I've always been very impressed and very excited to know Nina. And recently, I've had a couple of, you know, interactions with Kevin, and those have been super positive. So it's been years because, you know, we're trying to, if we were near each other, I guess that would happen a lot faster. But because of the circumstances, it just takes time to get those relationships built.
Yeah.
And you know, I think one good thing is, and we'll give credit to Dad with that, is when he started feeling like there was some separation and that we wasn't gelling and that the boys on his side, TJ and Brandon, may be feeling a certain kind of way. What Dad did was like Brandon said, an event. he brought everyone together. So Dad called the boys to our home in Illinois, and we spent a weekend together, in which therefore you are able to sit and express how you are truly feeling and about Carol, this marriage, and the whole gamut. So how you feel, let's be honest right now. So Dad did that from the very beginning of bringing everybody together.
Yeah, and that conversation was primarily had with me and TJ and Brandon.
With your two boys.
Because that was more, I needed to understand where they were because I started feeling the distance in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So where I said before, we didn't all sit down and talk, probably should have used that time. We used that time beyond the me and my two boys having that heart-to-heart, man-to-man conversation. We didn't really have sit down and bring all the family to talk about how you feel.
I just want to summarize a thought for our listener that I think is really, really important. And it's this giving each other space, especially with adult children, to be who they are, to bring what they bring to the table, to try to work with that, to meet them where they are and move from there, to have expectations for basic respect for one another. And we're going to work together. We're going to support each other in some sense, but not an expectation for love or, you know, familyness. Mm. Now, that's something each person chooses for themselves. And that's something that as a unit, as a family unit, happens slowly over time. And so meeting people with those expectations, I think, is a really, really valuable piece. In a minute, we're going to come back and look at some things. I'm just going to throw some stuff at you that we've heard from other adult children and adult families and some of the dilemmas that they have and have you guys react to those. But one of the overarching principles, I think, is once we get to that is, but remember to be gentle. Remember to be patient. Remember to have basic respect, but don't force love and meet people where they are. And I think that's really huge. Now, let's go back to this. Dad, you were I'm calling you Dad now, Terry. What's up with that? Dad Moss. I'm going to go with that. All right. Terry, you were feeling some distance with your two grown adult men. And you felt the need to have a conversation with them. My commentary on meeting with just the two of them without Carol, without the rest of the big family bunch, is that's the right move, especially when you're unsure of where this conversation's going to go. I think blood always talks to blood. And from a child's point of view, I don't care if you're 35 or you're 15 or 8 years of age, what you want first and foremost is a relationship with your biological parent. And until that is clear and clean and happy and fresh, you're not really going to dive into conversation about connecting with step people. Like, that's secondary. We got to go primary first. So it was the right call to meet with them. Even if it could have been fine the other way, it was still the right call. That's a message I want in listeners to hear right now. But you are feeling some disconnect. Can you go inside that? What was that about?
Well, for years, I lived with these little boys from little boys up to time they went away to college. And I knew our relationship and I knew how when we talk, how that felt. And when they spoke, I knew how freely we could interact and communicate. And in those moments, I was not feeling that. And I was feeling like something's there. They're not expressing it. They're not saying it. But the way the responses were going and the way the conversations were going, it didn't feel the same. And I wanted to get underneath that, and I wanted to figure out what was going on. And I figure having that on a phone conversation wasn't the way to get at that. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to pay for both of you to come to Illinois, one from Maryland and then one from California. And they came. It was a 4th of July weekend, and they arrived on that Friday. 4th of July was Saturday, and it was raining all day, so it was a perfect day for us to just sit and talk. I think we started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I think we finished up. We had a break in between there for lunch, and we all ate lunch together, everybody, the whole family, laugh. And then we came back in after lunch, the three of us, and with his new bride there. And just had continued conversation until about 4:30 that evening. And then the rains cleared up, the conversation was good, and we went out and enjoyed fireworks on 4th of July evening as a group, as a family, and laugh. And next morning, we were going to get up and go to church. And when we woke up that morning, I decided, and I said to Carol, you know what? Instead of us all going to church and worship as a family, which sounds good, I just felt in my heart we should go downtown Chicago and just have a family fun day.
Everybody to get to know.
And everybody get to know one another. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be just a great, great time that sometime when, particularly TJ, when he comes to visit, and we reminisce on that time, he talked about how special that was. And
I love it, TJ.
That whole weekend just became just really powerful for me. And I don't know how Brandon recollects it, but it was just a powerful time for me.
And what I think is important, too, as the stepmother was to give them their time.
Yeah.
Take me out of it because it's not about me. I want him to have that relationship with his boys, and it's about them validating the feelings, I think, is very important. So remove myself out.
Carol, you know their stepmom's listening right now going, no. I have to be in the middle of all of that. I have to be there to represent me. Nobody speaks well. Nobody really knows. Even my husband doesn't really understand what I'm feeling in the midst of this whole family dynamic. What would you say to somebody who makes that objection?
I would say to give them their time. It's not about you at this moment. It's about them. And they've had a relationship the whole boys' lives, their whole lives, their dad. And they're feeling a loss. And I knew that. In order for this for us to blend successfully, it's that they have to establish their relationships, and they have to, and they have to be able to validate their feelings and express themselves. So let them have dad. Yeah. He's my husband now, so I have him prayerfully for the rest of my life. So let me take me out of it. And that's the whole thing. Take yourself out of it, and it's not about you. Give them their time, and that's how I thought. I thought, give them their time to get a jam.
And I appreciated it, too. And if I could just share a little bit of that conversation, I think part of this might help listeners as well. But if not, you can take it out. but one of the things that was an eye-opener for me, because again, the purpose of bringing them to that conversation in that moment was to try to understand how are you feeling and what's going on and why do I feel like distance is becoming a part of us. So we had started the conversation, and I told them, hey, it's just us, three of us, and be honest, speak whatever your mind. Don't feel like, well, I can't say this because you're my dad. No, whatever, just say it. And so I started off, and TJ, the older, you know, I'm going to speak because, you know, we've been talking about this, and I'm going to tell you what we're thinking. And so he started off with, our problem isn't because you and mom got a divorce. He said, I live with you. I understand that. So I thought, okay. And secondly, he said, it's not that you marry Carol. She seemed like a very lovely woman. You seem to be happy. I'm fine. So now I'm really in my mind thinking, wait, well, if it's not, it's not this, then what is it? I never forget this third thing. And TJ said, on behalf of TJ and Brandon, and so Brandon actually alluded to it earlier in this conversation, and he said, it's not that and not that. It's the fact that you have moved on with your life, your new family and everything, your new life, and we feel like you've left us behind. That was like a whew. And having those conversations, I had to be prepared for whatever the answer was. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that, it was revealing. I had to swallow.
Yeah. Sure.
But then I also said to them, thank you for sharing that. I had no idea you felt that way. And then I gave them my reasons why I wouldn't. You're distanced, you're grown, you had your own life. I didn't know that would be how you would feel. But that feeling expressed was so powerful. Matter of fact, when we teach blended family groups now, we share that with adult families. I mean, it's so important to know. And this was, they were adults, they were grown, they were on their own, but yet that feeling remained. And I was so glad that they shared that with me because it helped me. And I remember saying to them something that, you know, just came to me, and I said, hey, listen, you are my sons. And so you're a part of me. And wherever I am, you're there with me. Mm-hmm. And immediately my mind thought, that's what Jesus said to his disciples when he was leaving them. That where I am, there you be also. I thought, wow, how powerful that I understood that scripture better as a father, as a person now sharing that moment.
And I wanted Brandon and TJ to understand that from me as well as the stepmom, is that I'm not taking you away from them. I want to be a part of. And so that's how I wanted to present myself, is that I know that that's your father, and I know that how you guys feel. I don't want you to feel like I'm taking him away. I just want to be a part of. So my whole thought was, I'm coming alongside. I'm not the head. I'm not taking him. I'm not trying to control any of that. I just want you to see the true me, the true heart that I have, and I want to just be a part of.
That's great to hear. And I'm sure that gives some perspective to hear that from your step-parent, Brandon. And yet, your experience was she has him more than you do. And it does seem like there's things in his world, in his life, that are occupying his time and his energy. And that's just part of the reality of it. And it did feel like you were being left behind. You mind commenting on that?
Where's the tissue?
Right.
I know. Well, it's interesting because I, at that time, was not ready to articulate any of that stuff.
Big Brother just threw it out on the table and made it happen, though.
Yeah, I was like, I thought we was coming to eat some hot dogs in Chicago. Like, I don't know how we got to all this lunch. Because I just wasn't ready for that at that moment. And I have a lot. My brother was in a place where he was ready to articulate those things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I was very content. My memory of that is more Dad and TJ working stuff out. And I was just like, and I was fine with that. I was fine with that. I just wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to figure all that stuff out. I think I had a wife. I had a kid at that point, and I was all in on that. And my brother at that point did not have a significant other or a child, and so. My sense is that he and I even experienced the divorce and the remarriage very differently.
Yeah.
Because I was already all in on a whole new family myself, if that makes sense. And so TJ was probably, in my opinion, I don't know what his truth is, but, you know, I would imagine I'm kind of not really paying a lot of attention to him. Dad is now not really paying attention, you know, so I would imagine there's a lot going on there. I will say that my experience with the whole Chicago trip was, it was just an opportunity to hang out, which we just never got a chance to do, just period. And so hang out with Dad, you know, get to know Carol a little bit, found out Carol was an amazing cook, which means we was cool at that point.
Want to talk about a game.
Once I saw her get up, like on a Tuesday, and start making dishes from scratch in like 8 minutes, I was like, okay, we're good.
You go, girl.
I get it. I'm totally about this.
Best way to a stepson's heart is through his stomach.
Yes. Remember, I'm the bigger one too. So I'm into that. So, I remember the food, the visit, the traveling, the going to downtown Chicago, the hanging out, like the family arguments, like all the fun stuff that just, that's what I remember. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was a great conversation that TJ and Dad had, but for me, I'm trying to figure out also not only my relationship with all these new people and kind of new relationship with Dad, but I'm trying to figure out how do I integrate my wife, who is, I don't know if you can tell, I'm the animated one. So she's not going to like come in and shake everybody's hand and take over the room. And then I have a little boy who I'm trying to figure out how do I, you know, integrate him into all this. So that's where my focus really was. How can we all have fun together as a family? And I remember that experience as just being the first time we were just a family, and it wasn't about this marriage, that marriage, who's having all the feelings and the anger and the frustration. It was just, we were in Chicago, which, by the way, I should note, I want to note, we grew up outside Chicago for the first 10 years of my life, and those are my sweetest childhood memories. And Dad used to take me and my brother to downtown Chicago for, you know, for different events, activities, and visits and stuff. And I remember right before we left Chicago, we went to the Taste of Chicago Festival and with the family. And I just have like just super fond memories of going to Chicago with Dad. And so to go to Chicago with Dad, even as a 30-year-old with a wife and a kid and a second wife and step brothers and sisters.
Got to feel like a kid again.
Yeah, it brought it all back together for me. Like, okay, we're still a family.
See, this is that identity thing. Are we a family and we connected? I'm 54 years of age, and just about 6 months ago, my dad passed away. So both my mom and my dad are gone at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, even at my age, you still feel like your parents' child. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of that relationship. It doesn't go away. And you kind of know who you are in part because of your relationship with them, and you always want to be able to go home, and you always want to be able to sit and be with them. And a parent's affirmation, I mean, you can be 80 and your 100-year-old parent affirms you as a person and you go, I feel good today, mm-hmm. you know? It means so much. It's true. It doesn't matter that you're an adult. Like, that's my parent. And step-parents got to hear this, because when I have a step-parent mm-hmm. go, which I worked with a family one time, and she looked at me, the stepmom, and she said, they're adults. Why don't they act like adults? Well, in the presence of your husband, they're children. That's why. And as long as you're constantly grading them on their being adultness, you know, then you're going to be critical of them. And guess what? They're going to pick up on that, and they're not going to like you for it. And they're going to feel like their dad's not safe being with you. Like, everything begins to crumble at that point in terms of bonding and blending. You got to see them as just big kids trying to figure out and navigate and continue their family relationships with the people that they love and they care for the most. And to say, I'm an add-on, kind of like Carol's posture was, I'm not pushing myself, I'm an add-on, I'm finding my place and connection with you, we're going to figure this out together, that's got possibilities, right? That can eventually give birth to something good.
That was always one thing I appreciated, was my mom allowed my dad to not more so discipline me, but discipline me in his own separate ways, which I preferred over time. Just throw that out there. Preferred over my mom's.
Just to be clear to the listener, you're talking about dad, stepdad, right?
Yes,
Terry.
Yes.
So you
yes.
actually preferred his management style as a parent.
Yes, because it was exactly how you said it. It was very managing.
Yes.
You're coming in the office. You're being called to the office. You're going to have a set time. We're going to sit and talk as to what you did, why you decided to do it, why you're never going to do it again. And we're going to sign a contract, and your name is on this sheet of paper.
And I remember doing that once.
Yes.
And so those,
setting the expectation. Yes.
Those disciplinary conversations would turn into then into 2-hour conversations. And more so, I felt like as an adult now, I look back at it as, oh my goodness, Nina, you should have been way better. But you put this man through so much. But him really getting to know who I was and who I was becoming, because again, he raised two young men. So he's coming into a relationship or a marriage now where he has a daughter, which of course feelings and emotions are having to be managed a lot different other Ooh, than financial. So yeah, I always appreciate the way that I was disciplined. I was always talked to and coached to do better.
That's really neat. Now, again, you were 16, 17, 18, those early years when that was beginning to take place. What about now? As a grown woman, Nina, what do you need from Terry?
I need my parents to not be on Zoom calls every time I try to... I'm still the same way. Like, I'll FaceTime my mom. I'm like, Mom, answer the phone. And she's like, I'm curling my hair. Me and Dad have a Zoom meeting in 2 minutes. And I'm just like, why do all these other people get all of your time and attention? Meanwhile, I'm just asking for a cookie recipe.
Like I said, you're still a kid to your parents, no matter what age.
Exactly. Absolutely. And of course, with the whole pandemic now, and it being much harder for us to be able to see each other, it's a daily thing. I'm calling, I'm talking to my parents. Mom doesn't answer the phone. I'm calling Dad's phone, which Mom is probably going to answer. I don't know how that works. But I'm reaching out to my parents. We're staying in touch. And yeah, it's good.
Okay, we're going to jump out of the shallow end of the pool into the deep end of the pool with this next question.
Ooh, that was shallow?
Right.
You don't know deep, buddy.
I was talking about disciplining.
You don't know deep yet. Let's talk about finances. One of the things we hear from adult stepfamilies that really is a concern is, how do we deal with finances? The fact that my parent is getting married again has implications for family, generational finances, inheritance, assets. What I expect to get, that old thing that's grandma's, that's sitting in the garage or it's up in the attic, I want that, you know, but now I'm not so sure I'm going to get that. Like, it can be little things. The dollar value is not what's important here. It's that there's meaning and a sense of belonging and sense of family and what my idea of family versus now apparently the family you're bringing to our life. And from an adult standpoint, it's like, hey, I still love you. You're my kids. I'm taking care of you. We're going to do our thing. But yes, now I have a husband or a wife and we have commitments to each other. And so we've got to honor those things. That's important. God said, you know, leave and cleave. And we're going to take care of one another should one of us pass away. There's just inadvertently some competing agendas that sometimes hit when there's a wedding and the kids are adults. So I'm just opening up that topic. I have no idea how that's worked for you guys and your family, but I'm curious what your experience has been, what your thoughts would be. You know, here's a one takeaway that we've learned that I would pass on to other people. What would you say?
Well, if I'm going to go first, I would say, Ron, I've never thought about that in my life. None of that ever entered my mind. I don't know if that's good or bad or what, but that's never came up.
No, it's all right. For some people, it's a non-issue.
Yeah, and I think to our credit, which we didn't have Ron's book back then, which we did, but apparently we did a few things right that he has written up. But I think we just kept the covering over the whole family. And so it was never like a pecking order. So when Terry and I decided that we were going to do our will and we were going to determine who was going to get what, we started looking at the four children, because Shondell had passed away, as who is the most responsible one out of all four?
No.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, who's that? We need to pause the recording because I have to
adopt a whole new child.
Right.
Right. We're getting a whole new child.
So we started looking at, so we weren't looking at who is the oldest or the age. We started looking at who is the most responsible. So then we're thinking, since Nina is the only girl, and she's still growing, she is is not the most responsible one. Wow. So then we started looking at Brandon as being the most responsible one, because Brandon is that overthinker like his dad, yep. and he's already established a family. He has kids. So we started looking at it in that sense. But we did consider, we were thinking how the boys were feeling, because at first it was just them two. And so if something happened to dad, then dad's possessions went to them too. So we thought to ourselves, I wonder if they think now they have to share whatever dad's possessions were with the other children coming in. So we did have a conversation about that, but amongst ourselves, right. and not with the kids. So that's interesting
now,
that
now
you
asked. And it is a great question. And I would tell you, if TJ was here, he'd probably respond differently, because
I would assume
he
so.
Has made comment to that early on. And so I had to assure him, no, you're not going to be kicked out. And I, you know, I think his thing was, oh, now we got to share.
It's a reasonable right. question.
So it is.
It is.
It's a real question, and it's a real concern for those that go there. For us, what to me has made this work in her distributing of assets or anything else is the fact that we don't look at her kids and my kids. Mm. We look at the fact that these are our kids,
yes,
and what important. We want to leave for our children.
That's important.
And that to me has just been huge in many aspects of starting off just believing and agreeing these are our children. Mm-hmm. Coming into the relationship, it was, for me, it was, these are our children. Our bills, our debt, our issues, our concerns, our problems. It was, and so therefore it wasn't when something comes up, well,
that's your kids.
Mm-hmm. Or when it was time to split up, we do our wills. Okay, well, there's your money that you give to your kids, and mm-hmm. this is my money I'm going to give to my kids.
No, we brought it together.
We brought all together and decided these are the assets, and these are going to, how we're going to distribute them.
So what we decided was we were just going to live good and spend all our money and nobody
get
nothing.
Exactly.
Right. That's why we haven't heard about it.
Separate Zoom meeting needed.
So Nina, do you want to ask that question of Brandon now?
What was I going to ask? Okay, because I'm thinking of actual specific wedding day. How did you guys feel? Because you guys were
our wedding day.
Yes.
I thought you'd tell me. I thought you might make an announcement about your wedding day or something.
My wedding.
Okay. You can tell him first.
You're right.
I'd be happy to attend the wedding.
You're right. No.
I'm sorry.
But no, just you guys not actually being there at the physical wedding.
Mm-hmm. So let me get the situation right. When Terry and Carol got married, Brandon and his wife were not able to be there, or Brandon and TJ? Mm-hmm.
Brandon and TJ were not there.
Okay, so go ahead, Nina. What?
Did you guys feel, was that an option that you didn't want to attend, or you had the option and you chose not to? What? Because I mean, again, I was younger, so I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't really anything too deep. I think going back to the initial story of the introduction, it was like happening like the next week or something. Like we didn't really, like it was like, hey, this is Carol. Hey, we're getting married. Hey, it's happening in like a month. Hey, we're going to be, it's a destination wedding. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
We're like, okay, like I'm still back at, are you guys reconciling? Like, you need to give me way more runway than this. And then it just came down to logistics. Like, you know, I have a wife, I don't know if I had a kid at that point, but we were like, okay, we're going where? We're going to Hawaii for how long to do what? Like, wait, what's happening? And we just weren't really in a place to do that quickly.
Nina, it sounds like you were wondering what that meant to them.
Yeah.
And you were kind of wondering what, if that made a statement about them and their approval of the marriage or...
I've just always wondered.
Right. And here's my question back to you about that, because that, again, is a very legitimate question. You were there, right? Why aren't they there? What does this mean? not knowing probably left some sort of doubt in your heart and mind. And I'm wondering how that, if at all, impacted your developing relationship with your now two stepbrothers. Even if it was just in your head, how did that make a difference?
Not necessarily. I think that question more so is based off of how I think I would have felt at that time if I was in their shoes. But again, like Brandon said, logistics, timing, and everything. And if I can honestly say, we didn't know each other that well. We all hadn't really come together as a family. And, oh, these are your two stepbrothers now. Everybody love each other. It was never one of those coming to Jesus moments. So I've just always wondered what was your guys' perspective or your personal perspective on the situation.
You know, at the front of this conversation, we kind of wondered if it would, you know, serve you well to reflect back on the family journey. I mean, I see the value in this because here's this little question mark that's been hanging over her head for 14 years, just wondering, so what's the backstory? How come they didn't come to the wedding? What does that mean? What were the implications of that? How did that impact their relationship with Terry and Carol, with us, you know, who knows? And just a simple question and a conversation, a dialogue around this family journey just kind of opens that up. And all of a sudden, everybody gets a little bit of information they didn't have before. And now you know what it means or what it doesn't mean. And sometimes I think that is a really important thing for blended families. There's a good takeaway. When you find out what it doesn't mean, it helps. Because when you have confusion and ambiguity, your mind can go in 1,000 directions and 999 of them are negative. And when you now realize, oh, it's not that, it was this, I don't have to make anything of that anymore. I don't have to worry about that anymore. That little piece of anxiety is now removed, and it frees you up to move in a more positive direction. Okay, so Nina, Brandon, I'm curious. Either one of you have something that you just want to mention?
For me, I would say that my first thought comes from the beginning of the story, because that was the part of the story that was, I guess, the biggest in my mind, was just the introduction of this new relationship, this new marriage, and this new family, and what this is going to look like. And it's just really a recommendation, as best you can, for... I guess parents of adult children who are blending their families, is give as much runway as you possibly can to your adult children, particularly if they're in my situation where there was a distance there, like physical distance. We weren't really around each other as much. And so if you're there every day or every week or something like that, you can kind of come along the journey. But start the conversation as early as possible. And that's probably good for little kids too, I would imagine. Just bring them along as early as possible. And that's something that everyone has to figure out, because you don't want to come too early and then you're bringing them along with something that isn't really going to last. But if it's something you really know this is going to go long term, the earlier you can bring them into the conversation, and as often as you can bring them into the conversation, give them time to kind of process that and kind of be ready. So I think for Nina, it was, oh, now we're getting married. But she saw this whole process up to the marriage. For me, it was kind of mostly nothing and then marriage. So it was a big jump for me. So that'd be something that I think would be helpful.
Yeah, like you said earlier, you didn't have a long runway at all. You needed a much longer runway to begin to warm up to this whole idea and what was happening.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's helpful.
But. Well, no. Well, for me, I appreciate you saying that. And I hear that and receive that and agree with that.
Mm-hmm. In hindsight, you agree with that. Yeah.
Because it was almost like I was thrust upon them. Yeah. And like you said, this event came along, and now here I am sitting there, and then Dad is saying they had never even met Carol. They had never even met. They didn't even really know that Dad was dating. And so here's the end of the relationship with their biological mother and their father. And so they're trying to deal with that. And they didn't even have time to deal with that before something else was thrust upon them. And so I understood that, and I respect that. Yeah. And so if we were to do it differently, right. we would have in the very beginning when we knew that we were getting serious and dad was thinking about it, proposing and we were getting married, we would have brought them along and then spoke upon that and let me yeah. meet them before I was coming stepmom. And then another thing is Uncle Brooks, the way he thrust me upon them too is like, so are y'all gonna call her mommy? You know, and that was a culture shock before
that.
Yeah, before dad can even say we're getting married, are y'all gonna call her mommy? So it was kind of thrust upon and so I respect that, Brandon. Yep. I really do.
And I wanna add that I'm not saying that with any judgment. I
feel
like what happened there and that you're trying to figure all this stuff out and there's a million moving parts.
Right.
And so there's no animosity towards
you.
No,
not at all.
Simply you know, hey, here's an area where we could, you know, help other families in the future.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, we receive it as you gave it.
Oh, good.
And
okay, good.
And Ron Books talks about the crock pot mentality too. So
Once you get married.
Yes, once you get married. And so, like, this has been 14 going on 15 years, and we're just now really being able to sit down and talk about it and express ourselves. So it's a process. It's a journey. And so after 14 years, we're really now starting to solidify our relationship. So it is a journey.
I will mention to our listener, my book, Dating and the Single Parent, is all about dating well. And that's one of my key points is you're not just building a couple relationship. You're actually starting the process of developing a family relationship, a set of relationships. And those are two different things. And you need a much longer runway for the family-ness factors to come into fruition. And so take that into consideration as you're dating. And the book tries to give you some practical ideas to do that. Okay, we're going to close with this. One of the things I know for adult step families that is kind of this convergence of reality, this is a family and we got to figure this out, is special days and holidays, birthdays or Christmas time or Thanksgiving. You know, if Thanksgiving came up earlier and Brandon wanted to go home and wanting it to be home, but now it doesn't feel like home. And you have this, you know, merger of traditions and expectations, and all of that seems to rise on those really big, important special days that happen throughout the year. I just want to open it up to the four of you and just say, what's a good takeaway to share with our listeners about trying to navigate that from your point of view? You've been listening to my conversation with Terry, Carol, Brandon, and Nina. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. We'll get back to their thoughts about navigating the holidays in a moment. If you'd like more information about my guests, you'll find it in our show notes, or you can simply check it out on the Family Life Blended podcast page at familylife.com/blendedpodcast. And while you're there, be sure and check out everything Family Life has for your marriage and family. Our division, Family Life Blended, has the world's largest collection of resources for stepfamilies. Brent and Lucy recommended us on Facebook, saying Family Life Blended has great blended family resources. Well, we like to think that we do. And by the way, those come in many forms. Articles you can read online, videos, books, and live events for blended families. Check us out. The show notes will tell you how. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast just yet, you can on the new Family Life app on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Family Life Blended. Now, let me add a couple of practical thoughts about navigating newly formed adult stepfamily relationships. And let me talk first of all to you parents. Try to give equal time to the adult children's families and to grandchildren. For example, if you both have adult kids, but one set of kids gets more time than the other set of kids, you're going to naturally incite some jealousy and disrespect between those adult step-siblings and maybe towards you as the step-parent. Now, I realize this can be tough, and it's not always up to you. Sometimes one set of kids just live closer than the other does, so you have to utilize technology to connect and some things like that, but you might just have to spend a little money and travel just to try to make sure you're investing in both sides of the family. I think it's worth it. Now, let me just add a word for you adult stepchildren. In our book, Building Love Together in Blended Families, Gary Chapman and I suggest that even if you're struggling with your parents' marriage, don't stop your children from loving their step-grandparent just because you can't. You know, that relationship really can stand on its own, and I think you should let it. Hey, I mentioned earlier about live events. You may not know this, but we have a searchable map where you can find events or local church ministries near you. And church leaders, we're constantly producing materials that equip leaders so that your church can have your own small group or a premarital program that educates blended family couples and tries to prevent divorce. You can also learn on that map about our Summit on Stepfamily Ministry that will take place this coming fall. You can learn more about that event or any of the others that we post on our blended ministry map. Just go to the show notes and they will point you in the right direction. And now, some final thoughts about navigating the holidays and special days in an adult stepfamily.
It's important and was important for me to understand what were the expected traditions around certain holidays. And then not disrupt that, but try to come alongside and be part of that. We're also then looking for opportunities to maybe bring in something that may be important tradition for me and how we can make that an us tradition. So it's just really being mindful of and being intentional and not upsetting the apple cart and making everything has got to be my way or mm-hmm. it's got to be all your way. And I don't feel like my traditions are important or nobody cares about what I feel, what I think. Instead of that kind of animosity developing, just find ways to try to integrate and cooperate and then come up with something that may be even a new tradition.
Mm-hmm. For me, I want the boys to know that he's always going to be their dad and that I didn't expect to come in and take him away. So if I'm seen as an addition, that he's just not mine, he is ours. And I want them to know that I'm here to walk alongside of him. So like we said before, it's our kids and it's our children and we love them. I love them equally. And so I want to be seen as an addition, not as taking him away from them.
And then are they welcome to come home for holidays?
They welcome. Oh, they know I love the grand boys. And just, I don't want this looked at as if it's chaos or you know, something that makes them nervous. Because I know that when Brandon first baptized one of the boys and we finally all came together as a family and his mom was there and I was there and the other grandmoms, I just know that that was just the beginning of nervousness as us coming together as a family. And so I just, you remember that, Brandon?
And yes. So,
and how you felt with this new person coming in. So I just want to come in as an addition and validate their feelings. That's very important. And this has to grow organically, not forcefully.
I have to admit, the baptism is a very good example, particularly of the first of our first son, because that was kind of the first time everyone was coming together. I was very, I don't want to say pleased, but I guess I was impressed. I was pleased. I was gratified to see the level of just maturity that everyone had about the whole thing. All the different people were around there, but there was we're here to focus on this child and this experience and this opportunity for all of us to be part of this unique moment. And that has really been how everybody has acted throughout the whole thing. And so it's just been a real pleasure to kind of see whenever we do bring the families together, that everyone just acts with a great deal of just kind of care and concern and compassion for each other and for the moment and that sensitivity. And I really appreciated that.
Nina, do you have something you want to?
Yeah, I think, Mom, you just took the words out of my mouth, just allowing things to happen organically and to where things don't feel forced at all. And just knowing, having the love for my mother and knowing that her feelings and her emotions are being nurtured the way that they should be, the way that she would like them to be, was everything. And especially with my dad coming into a relationship or a marriage with a disabled child and never really having to have dealt with that before, that was something I know I personally appreciated, because my brother meant the world to me. So it was just like, who is this person going to come in? And Shondell looked at him as well, like, oh, dad or Moss. I love those moments. So just being able to nurture everyone's personal feelings and allow it to happen organically was what I appreciated the most.
Hey, just in time for Father's Day, our next episode is going to include a bonus segment from my book, The Smart Stepdad, and we'll hear a Family Life Today flashback designed just for stepdads. If you're the stepdad and your wife has an ex-husband, then he is your ex-husband-in-law. That's The Smart Stepdad, next time on Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thank you to our Family Life Legacy partners for making this podcast possible. If you'd like to support this ministry and the production of more resources, you can make a tax-deductible donation specifically for Family Life Blended. The show notes will tell you how. Our chief audio engineer is Keith Lynch. Bruce Goff, producer. Our mastering engineer is Justin Adams. And theme music provided by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is produced by Family Life and is part of the Family Life Podcast Network.